Malachi chapter 2. The Lord Almighty says to the priests, now these are the priests who are back in the land of Judah after they've been in captivity, and now the Jews have returned, but they're not really living as they ought to, and they're not using all the opportunities that God's giving them to really re-establish his kingdom. And so the priests were largely responsible for this, and so this is a message to them. This command is for you. You must honour me by what you do. Whereas instead, they were honouring themselves. If you will not listen to what I'm saying, then I shall curse you. I will put a curse on the things that you receive as tithes. That is, the people of Israel used to give a tenth, one in ten, say, of animals and things like that, to the priests to support them so that they could teach them God's law. But the priests were not doing it as they ought to have done. God goes on, and I have already cursed what you have, because you do not take my word to heart. In other words, they didn't take God seriously. Like, we can hear God's word and simply not believe that this is actually the word of God and not take it seriously. So I will punish your children, and I shall put your faces in the dung of the animals that you're sacrificing, and you will be taken out to the dung hill. And then you shall know that I have given you this command so that my covenant with the priests will not be broken. In my covenant, my promises with them, I promised them life and blessing, and that is what they were given, so that they might respect me. In those days they did honour and respect me. They taught what was right, unlike you who are teaching what is wrong. They lived at one with me. They not only did what was right themselves, but also taught others to stop doing evil. And so it is for the priests to teach the knowledge of God. People should be able to go to the priests to learn of my word, seeing that they are the messengers of God Almighty. So that was the role of the priests, to teach people God's word. But they weren't doing this properly. But now you priests have turned away from the right path. Your teaching has led so many to do wrong. You have broken the covenant that was made with you. And I, for my part, will make the Israelites turn against you because you do not do my will. And when you teach, you do not treat everybody equally. So they were saying to one person, the will of God is that you should, give this amount of money to this reason. And the other person, they would say, God doesn't expect so much of you, because they were their friend or something like that. Don't we all have one Father? Did not one God create us all? So why then are we deceitful with each other? And why do we despise the covenant that God has made with our fathers? The people of Judah have broken their covenant to God and done a terrible thing in Jerusalem and all over the land. They have defiled the temple which the Lord loves. They have married women who worship other gods. May the Lord remove from the house of Israel those who do this, and never again let them participate in the sacrifices that our people bring to Yahweh Almighty. So then, to marry those that are unbelievers, he speaks here as if that is extremely serious, and that this is a way of defiling your relationship with God or destroying your relationship with God. And marriage is the most personal and intimate decision that you're going to make in your life after getting baptized. And if we marry people who are not true believers, well, we're really saying that for us, God and Jesus are not going to be the center of our daily family life. That's what we're saying. And that is very wrong, and we shouldn't do that. And there's all these examples in Israel, people like Solomon, of doing that and going so wrong. And God goes on through Malachi, and there is one more thing. You pour tears all over the altar of the Lord, weeping because he no longer accepts the offerings which you sacrifice. You ask why he no longer accepts you. It is because he knows that you have broken your promise to the wife of your youth. She was your partner, and you have broken your promise to her, although you promised before the presence of God that you would be faithful to her. Did not God make you to be one body and one mind with her? His purpose in this was that so that you should raise a godly seed, that is, so that your children should be his people. So be sure that none of you breaks his covenant to his wife. I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel. I hate it when one of you does this kind of cruel thing to his wife. So be sure that you do not break your covenant, but be faithful to your wife. You have made the Lord weary with all your talk. But you ask, how have we made him weary? It's because you say, the Lord Almighty thinks the people who sin are good. In fact, he thinks they're to be commended. Or by the way that you ask, where is the God who is supposed to give judgment? So they just assumed that the day of judgment was not going to come, and that actually it was a cool thing to be evil. So he talks here about people who break their covenant with their wife, and also about breaking a covenant with God. And he's sort of saying that the two things are related, that people who just have an attitude that, yes, I gave my word, I entered covenant with God, I entered covenant with my wife or my husband, but I just don't care what I said, and I'm just going to do whatever I want. These people are really evil. And by doing so, by just having this, I'm just going to do what feels right to me today sort of attitude, we are really breaking our relationship with God. And unfortunately, the world is full of this attitude that I'll just do what feels good. Whereas the Christian way is the way of commitment, the way of honesty, the way of truthfulness, the way of, as David says, committing yourself to something and then not pulling out of it, even though it's to your harm.